May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 90. Now begin the heavenly theme. Sing aloud in Jesus' name. Ye who his salvation prove, triumph in redeeming love. Hymn number 90.
Yeah. the Lord be pleased to bless his word as we read it from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and chapter 5. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and reading chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May God bless his word to us and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty and most gracious Lord God, if it could be thy holy will, do grant us at this time a spirit of prevailing prayer. Lord, do grant that our prayers may enter in through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, look upon us as we've come here tonight. Lord, deal graciously with us, we pray. Lord, all our needs are known to our God. And Lord, we believe that we have a God who knows every detail about our lives, our innermost thoughts, our innermost desires. We believe that nothing is hidden from thy all-seeing eye. And so, Lord, as we've gathered here tonight, Lord, may we be conscious of that holy, heart-searching eye looking right into the deepest recess in our heart. And we pray, Lord, that such a view may be a means of producing in our heart that concern and that desire to do those things which are right and those things which are God-honoring. Lord, we pray then even tonight that thy Holy Spirit may come and apply thy word to our souls. Lord, let it not be a barren night tonight. Lord, let it not be a time of famine. But Lord, may it be a time of spiritual blessing and of feeding upon Christ. Oh Lord, we know those words that the Saviour spoke so solemnly. Except we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, there is no life in us. And therefore, Lord, may we be concerned that we do possess that life of God within, which feeds upon Christ. O Lord, grant tonight we each may be on the stretch after him. And O Lord, that he may be precious and exceedingly precious to us. Lord, as we may realize that in him is all our hope of salvation, all our hope of eternal life. And so, gracious God, come, we pray tonight, and help us indeed to be amongst the true worshippers who worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, let us not go away then empty-handed tonight. Lord, we cannot demand the blessing. And Lord, we know we do not deserve the blessing. But Lord, we're thankful for the grace of God. We're thankful for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight we may have that confirmation in our hearts that we are rich through what Christ has done. Lord, grant that we may have that evidence in our hearts that we are amongst those whom thou didst die for upon that cross at Calvary. Lord, we pray we may not be left out. O Lord, that we may be amongst that number that no man can number. Those for whom thou didst come into this world in order that their souls might be redeemed. Lord, we are so often of the earth and earthy. But, oh Lord, lift us up tonight into those heavenly places so that we may view our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may view him smitten, stricken, and afflicted. And Lord, to know that that was done so that we might receive that wonderful gift of eternal life. And Lord, make these things to us tonight so very real and so very precious. Lord, that will not remain just a theory in our minds. We pray, Lord, that thou would touch our hearts. Oh Lord, touch our hearts and heal us, Lord. Oh Lord, we often feel, Lord, the need for healing. Lord, we know that it's put forth thy hand and touch one here and one there, and they were healed. And so, gracious God, we pray tonight that thou wilt come amongst us. Oh Lord, that we may know that Jesus is in the midst. Lord, that we may know that by the blessed realization of the application of thy word to our souls. Oh Lord, we earnestly pray that thou would do us good tonight. Oh Lord, we pray that we may be set at liberty. Oh Lord, we know that Satan would chain us down. We pray that we may know, even tonight, the glorious liberty which is to be found in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us then to look out of ourselves. Help us to look up to the great and glorious Redeemer. Lord, may our eyes of faith behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, even tonight, that we may know that our sins are forever washed away in the fountain of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may it be a precious vein tonight, the blood of the Saviour. Oh Lord, we pray then we may not remain unmoved, hard-hearted, unconcerned. But give us, Lord, that grace to come, to bow down, indeed, to bow down sense and reason. Oh, Lord, because to believe that thou dost indeed reign here. Come, Lord, tonight and reign in our hearts. Lord, as our God, as our Lord and our Master, as our King. Oh Lord, may we be a truly obedient subjects to that King of Kings. Lord, let us not be disobedient. Let us not walk contrary, Lord, to thy way, to thy will. Lord, leave us not to be stubborn or proud. But, oh Lord, give us that grace to submit unto the Lord God. Oh Lord, may we know the truth of those words, submitting ourselves unto the Lord, that he may exalt us in due time. And help us, Lord, to cast all our care upon thee. Lord, we have many cares. And Lord, sometimes they mount up. And Lord, they become huge before us. Give us, Lord, that grace to come and to cast all our cares upon thy gracious self, believing thou dost care for us. O Lord, then, grant even tonight we may know that We are those for whom thou dost care, those whom thou dost watch over every moment of our life. And Lord, may we prove the way we take cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. And so, Lord, come, we pray, and go with us each in our path ordained for us in this life. And Lord, we realize our life is fast passing away. But Lord, may we have the comfort that the Lord is with us. And Lord, the Lord has gone before us. And the Lord has won the race for us. And so, Lord, help us then to put all our trust and all our confidence in that great and glorious finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may it be a great work in our minds tonight, that we may bow down and worship the ever-living and true God. And so, Lord, we come then and be merciful to us each. And Lord, we would earnestly pray that we may each be blessed tonight. O Lord, help us to realize how we're passing through time. We know not, Lord, how many more times we shall be favored to gather together for worship. O Lord, may we come expectantly as we enter into thy courts to worship. Lord, may we have that prayer, that true prayer, that humble prayer, earnestly desiring the Lord will bless us indeed. Lord, thou knowest what we need. So often we don't know. Sometimes we think we know. We're thankful we have a God who does know. And so, Lord, come tonight where we are and bless us indeed. Gracious Lord, pour out the blessing, so that there may not be room to contain it. But Lord, we know we have a God who can do such things. And so, Lord, may we be found then. Indeed, as the Apostle John was so many years ago, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Lord, we pray for that. We pray that our souls may be blessed and touched, and above all things, the name of our great and glorious God honoured and glorified. And Lord, we pray for thy people throughout our nation here. For Lord, we are often saddened and distressed by the situation which faces us. Lord, we see often such a lack of zeal, such a lack of true godliness, such a lack of true concern about spirituality. Lord, such a lack of true concern for spiritual liveliness. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet again pour forth a blessing upon our nation. And grant, Lord, that thy people indeed may be truly lively in the things of God. And Lord, that their lives may show forth the praises of our God. O Lord, help us to live our life, every moment of it, as unto the Lord and not unto ourselves. Lord, may we count our life as nothing, that Christ might be all and in all. Lord, give us right views of the value of our soul. Give us right views of the greatness of our God. Lord, may these things truly influence us every day of our life, so that we may be as light shining in this dark world. Lord, let us not hide our light. Lord, left to ourselves, very, very weak. But Lord, we realize the truth of the words of the apostle: I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And Lord, may we go in the strength of the Lord God, making mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So Lord, may the mountains flow down, O Lord, the crooked things be straightened out, and those rough places become plain. O Lord, help us then to put our trust in Thee. Give us, Lord, that living faith. O Lord, how we need to receive that great and glorious gift of faith. Faith to believe, faith to trust. Lord, grant it, we pray, and it may be evidenced in each of our lives. Thy name may be honoured and glorified. And we pray then for it in those of Thy people in our land and nation today, that there may yet be a turning unto Thee. O Lord, turn us again, and we shall be turned. Lord, our eyes are up unto Thee. Lord, we think of those days in the life of Jehoshaphat, when he said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. And Lord, we're thankful that it's hear his prayer. We're thankful, Lord, for the great and glorious deliverance which was obtained on that occasion. And so, Lord, may we come casting all our care upon Thee. And so, Lord, we pray for these things. We continue to pray, Lord, for the Sunday school here. We pray that there may be much blessing through this work. Lord, that the young people and the children may indeed have cause to remember their times in the Sunday school. And so, Lord, bless this work, we pray. We pray, Lord, for this people here. We pray, Lord, that it might be with them. And grant, Lord, if it could be Thy will, they may be blessed with a pastor to come in and out amongst them. One, Lord, who may be a true under-shepherd, who may have a care for their souls. And Lord, that there may indeed be that true blessing, that binding together. O Lord, do grant it if Thy holy will. Thou knowest, Lord, the concerns of each one. Perhaps, Lord, the lack of concern of some. But we pray, Lord, that Thy will may be done in these things. And if it could be Thy holy will, O Lord, that there may be one, even now, being prepared for this work. So, Lord, there may be that true unity of the Spirit in concern, in desire and fruition. Lord, we are thankful we have a God who knows everything. The God is in every place. And we pray therefore, Lord, if it could be Thy will, that will grant this favour. And Lord, do richly bless this place. Lord, a place where Thine honour dwelleth, we believe. Lord, keep everyone humble. Keep everyone seeking the lowest place. Keep everyone desiring each other's good better than themselves. And help them to pray for one another. Help them to bear each other's burdens. So, Lord, if they may be a truly fruitful people who show forth Thy praise. We pray, Lord, for this village of Swaversea and the surrounding area. Lord, how many there are who care nothing for their souls. Well, if it could be Thy will, there may be that great and glorious work of Thy Spirit going forth into many a soul, convincing of sin and directing them to the Saviour. They may find that peace even as they gather here to worship with Thy people. Lord, the work is Thine, and we pray Thy will may be done in these things. And so, gracious God, do come now and gather with us. O Lord, be merciful. Forgive our every sin. May Christ be honoured and glorified. We ask it for His sake. Amen.
Hymn number 606. Let saints lift up their hearts and with a cheerful voice the wonders of their King proclaim and in the Lord rejoice. Hymn 606.
please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and chapter 5 and reading verse 7. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5 and reading verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is a word which is true of the whole church of God. None of us are exempt from such a truth. And God's people are called to walk a life of faith. And as this verse tells us, therefore, we do not walk by sight. And I believe the great reason for this is that we receive the gift of faith to believe the truth of God's word, and by faith to lay hold of it. God gives us that God-given faith to lay hold of his word, and it is his Spirit's work. It's not that which you and I can produce ourselves. If it was so, there would not be honour and glory to God. But because it's the work of the Spirit of God, it is then that we desire to acknowledge his work in giving us this blessed faith to believe. And so the apostle says, for we, it is inclusive of the church of God, for we walk by faith and not by sight. How important it is for us in our lives to realize the truth of such a word, because sometimes we expect perhaps to have sight. We perhaps want sight. We want things to be so very clear. And we say, well, I'm not going to do this or that until so and so and so and so. My friends, the word of God tells us we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And what does that do? It brings honour and glory to God. We have in the word of God, don't we, a wonderful list of those who were blessed with God-given faith to walk. It isn't a question of just standing still. It didn't say, for we stand still by faith. He said, for we walk by faith. I believe that means there's a venturing forward. A venturing forward in God's name. In accordance with those things that he may have spoken to us of and directed us in. And we are not to ignore the leadings and the gracious directions by the Spirit of God, however difficult perhaps to our nature, however trying to our nature. The spiritual life is not an easy walk. In fact, it's a very hard walk. It's a very difficult walk. And the reason you and I are pilgrims on this earth, we're strangers. This is not our home. It's not our rest. And perhaps as we consider that fact, walking by faith and not by sight, we'll understand a little of what the apostle said when he commenced this chapter. And the apostle is very positive, isn't he? For we know. Well, again, it's good, you know, if we are honest in the things of God. There's a tendency to not really be honest. And I believe if the grace of God has come into our hearts and into our souls, we dishonour God if we pretend that we don't know. And it's not a mark of grace to pretend we don't know. May we realise that it's for God's honour and glory that we testify of what we do know. The apostle was not a hypocrite. The apostle was a man of God. And his desire was for the honour and glory of God. And it will be a great blessing, my friends, if you and I are always concerned about the honour and glory of God, so that we are not so concerned about ourselves, but we're concerned about God's honour and glory. That our lives might show forth his honour and his glory. And so the apostle speaks in these words, for we know that if our earthly house, or this tabernacle, that means his body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, if I asked you this evening, if you were able to humbly make such a statement, my friends, you're either able to or you're not able to. And if the Spirit of God has touched your heart and given you a hope in his mercy, then you see you have hope, a good hope, that one day you will be with Christ in glory. Is that true? Is that true? Do you desire one day to be in Christ with glory? In glory that you have then a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have an actual physical view of this scene in glory. The Lord has given us the Word of God. He's given us the Bible, which traces out in detail the pathway of the children of God. And in that detail, we see the encouragement to believe that by his grace and because of his mercy and love, that we have a hope of eternal life. And if we have that hope, my friends, then humbly believe we can say, for we know these great and glorious truths. He goes on and explains the position that we find ourselves in. For in this we groan. If you're a living child of God, you'll groan in your earthly tabernacle, your earthly body, because of the sin which dwells within. And it's an evidence that you and I today are walking by faith and not by sight. Groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Well, this is a great statement, isn't it? And no doubt most of us feel to come very far short. But my friends, I believe when the Spirit of God just touches our heart, perhaps we know what it is then. It's a touch, perhaps, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We must realise, and I hope we realise, that eternity in glory is far better than this life on this earth. It'd be a sad thing if you and I are satisfied with this poor earth and all this poor earth can offer, because it's a perishing world. My friends, it will not stand. It will all be burnt up in that great day of judgment that the apostle refers to in this chapter. And so he comes and says, now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. It's God who works in our hearts, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the good hope, the evidence of the work of the Spirit of God in our souls. And how important it is that you and I have the evidence of God's work in our soul. How important it is. Oh, my friends, it's the necessary thing, because our life on this earth is so transient. It's so quickly disappearing. And then, where will our souls be? Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, again, that's a tremendous statement, isn't it? Sometimes we turn away from such statements and we think, well, I don't come up to that standard, and I never will do, and therefore we just pass it by. What a good thing it would be, wouldn't it, if we are able to say from our heart the truth of these words. They are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, this was the experience and the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul wasn't any different to you and me. He's a man of like passions. But we see the grace of God. And we live large in a day of small things. We're not to despise the day of small things. But it'd be a great blessing if you and I desire to live our life like this, ready and willing to depart this body and to be present with the Lord. And if we are honest and analyze our position by gathering together for worship, is it not that we desire to have the evidence in our hearts that we are possessors of eternal life, and that we are on that journey to that celestial city? Surely that is, or it should be, the concern and desire of us each as we gather here for worship. Now, I know that very often we are sadly carnally minded, and we know how strong our flesh is. But oh, my friends, do we not desire, maybe not pray for a blessing like this, so that we are indeed, as the apostle says, strangers and pilgrims upon this earth, and fellow citizens with a household of faith, to be journeying through this world and to testify that this world is not our home and it's not our rest. We're not at home in the world. And you must answer tonight whether you're at home in the world, whether you want to live in this world, whether you're content with the things that this world has to offer. My friends, the hymn writer said, sad truth, were this to be our home. And true it is, sad truth, were this to be our home. And so I hope tonight that this is not our home, but by the grace of God, we are amongst those who are travelling home to God. Yes, travelling home to God, to that celestial city. And as such, you see, the apostle comes and says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, and this faith, you see, will be in exercise. The Lord knows the way. The Lord knows what he is doing for us and how he is directing us and how he's going before us and how he's blessing us. In the Proverbs, we read a very helpful word. Proverbs 20 and verse 24. Man's goings, his journeyings, are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Yes, you may find your way, your path, very strange. You may not be able to understand it. Be encouraged by the word of God, which speaks to us in this way. Man's goings, his journeys, are of the Lord. What a blessing that is. We're not allowed to organize our own goings. How can a man then understand his own way? Again, in Proverbs we read, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. We don't want to go in a way that seems right to a man. The right way is laid before us in the Word of God. And that right way may be a high standard. But however high that standard is, you and I should be concerned to be found desiring that standard. We'll never come up to it by ourselves. As the Lord gives us that grace to see earnestly for that right way. And that right way may be for his honour and for his glory. And so the apostle says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And it is in our journey of life. We're walking by faith. Just reverting to those patriarchs we read of in the 11th of Hebrews. They walked by faith. Did they have an easy path? If you read those accounts, you will know they did not have an easy path. But they walked by faith. And they did the will of Almighty God. God gave them that strength to do those things which appeared perhaps to be impossible. The line of our hymns which says, faith laughs at impossibilities and says, it shall be done. You see, those things which are impossible to us are those things which God enables us to do. And the apostle tells us what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. Good hope. You got a good hope of eternal life? We want to have, my friends, a good hope of eternal life. You see, we want to have a good hope of eternal life. And if you and I have a good hope of eternal life, it'll be founded on this. What Christ has done. Your hope of eternal life won't be resting on what you've done. It'll be resting upon what Christ has done. The hope for the evidence of things not seen. And we're told, the elders obtained a good report. Well, what a blessing if you and I obtain a good report for that faith which God has given to us. Yes, the Lord gives this living faith. And the examples, you think of Abraham. Yes, the father of the faithful. Think what he had to do. Leave his homeland. He went out not knowing whither he went. Did he see by sight? Had he got a map of where he was to go? Did he think that would be a nice place to go to? He went out not knowing whither he went. And I believe not only naturally was that so, but it is spiritually so with us today. In our spiritual journey, we go forward, we walk forward as the Lord enables us by faith. Yes, we know that there is a heavenly land, but how to get there? The Lord knows the journey. The Lord knows the way. And so we're told that Abraham, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. And it's just worth noticing that the patriarchs, they lived in tents. Yes, they had no permanent dwelling place. They lived in tents. And in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He walked by faith and not by sight, but he had the same desire as the apostle, looking for that city. My friends, if you and I are looking for that city, the heavenly Jerusalem, that our hearts and affections may indeed be set upon things above. And who is the center of glory? Who is the center of glory? The Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we know Christ, we won't want to go to heaven. We won't want glory. There will be no attraction. There will be no attraction. I remember when I was young, and I remember speaking to another colleague, and he was in exactly the same situation. We didn't want to go to hell, and we didn't want to go to heaven. Neither place was attractive. What was done? Prayed for a desire after heavenly blessings, and a desire that we might desire heaven. God hears such prayers. And it may be tonight, some of you youngsters may think, well, I don't really want to go to heaven. I don't really want to find myself in a place of continual praise and worship. And you may not know anything of the Lord Jesus. So there's no attraction in being with him. Well, then pray the Lord will give you a heart for these things, so they may be real and they may be precious to you. So then you will understand what the apostle said. And then you will understand what Abraham said. Yes, glorious, wasn't it? That he desired that. And then we have the case of Moses. Moses, man of God. But you see, he didn't always understand the right way. Remember, he was 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. And then obviously the Lord had showed him that he was the one who was going to lead Israel out of Egypt. And he thought that everyone would have known that. But they didn't. And Moses then had to go for 40 years in the backside of the desert so that the Lord would prepare him for that work. And you know, when the Lord had prepared him for that work, Moses then was a very different person. He didn't now think, well, I'm the person. He said he wasn't. He wasn't able. He was a man of slow speech. He didn't have a high opinion of himself. He had a low opinion of himself. But you see, God had prepared him. And then it was that he had to walk by faith, not by sight. And how did he go? He didn't go in his strength. He went in God's strength. And there we see the great and glorious difference. And what do we see in Moses' life? We're told like this: choosing rather to suffer. Yes, Moses, to suffer. That's the choice. To suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Pleasures of this vain world are but for a season. They'll vanish away. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so we have this picture of Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ. He esteemed it, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward of eternal life. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Well, what a blessing if you and I are given that faith to esteem the reproach of Christ. And it isn't any different today as it was when Moses was on the earth. Don't think that you will escape bearing the reproach of Christ. God's people are a separated people. And my friends, we are to bear the reproach of Christ. And as we bear the reproach of Christ, there is that fellowship with Christ. And that makes all the difference, because we understand the being united to Christ. We know that we are in Christ, and we can bless God for it. The Lord has counted us worthy to suffer for his sake. The path of the children of God is like this. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not a path that our nature would choose, but it's a path which our spirit agrees with. Yes, and so Moses was blessed in that way. Well, you know, go through, couldn't we? We could think of Joseph in his pathway. Yes, what a path he had. What trials, we're told, until he was delivered, the word of God tried him. That means the word of God was tested. That means his faith was put to the test. His faith was tested. It was tried. My friends, your religion and my religion will be tested and tried. And it's tested and tried, as it were, by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And you can bless God that that which is not of faith will be burnt up. Sometimes you and I hold on to things. And we think that they were from God. And we find they were the flesh. If you want to test the reason for that, if you want to test in your life whether it is of God or of yourself, test it in this way. If it comes to pass, who will have the glory? Who will have all the glory? If it comes to pass, will you have any glory? If you analyse it and find that you'll be receiving some glory, you can be fairly confident it did not come from the Lord. And in which case it will be burnt up. It's a blessing to have living faith which is tried and tested. Now, my friends, true faith leads us to Christ. True faith leads us to Christ. What a blessing it is then to possess this living faith. Glorious truth it is to know this wonderful faith. The Galatians tell us, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. God gives this living faith to believe. You and I cannot believe in ourselves. But bless God, he gives us faith to believe in what? A despised and crucified man as our all-sufficient Saviour. Not of the flesh. God gives faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, tonight, you and I receive faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle tells us, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so we have this statement that the law of God will condemn us and prove to us that we've offended God and we are great sinners. We are guilty. There's no hope in ourselves. And as such, then the Spirit of God gives us faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what a blessing is, for ye are all those who have been led this way, are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And the apostle, of course, when he wrote to the Ephesians, it tells us this great truth, and you hath he quickened. That means made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And he elucidates it and tells us wherein in time past, there's been a change, has there? Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Oh, another but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Do you agree with that? You say, oh, what great love it was to love a sinner like me. Great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, united with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, you see, it's the unmerited favour of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Spirit of God conveys to us this great and glorious blessing of God-given faith. Yes, we don't walk by sight. God gives us faith to believe these great and glorious truths. And he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No other place. It's only in Christ Jesus that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The kindness of God in revealing the truth to our souls. The need we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then leading us to the Saviour. As the Apostle says earlier in this same chapter, and this is very blessed, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, this is a wonderful blessing of those who are favoured to walk by faith and not by sight. And, well, we could go on. You can go on, go home and read the Ephesians. Great and blessed truths it contains, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And as Peter says, it is an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through grace unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And the truth is that as God enables us to walk by faith, what does it do? It brings honour and glory to his great and holy name, because his faith is given by him. It's not something you can work up. No, you can't. God gives faith, the gift of God. Blessed it is to receive it and to know that we possess the evidence of it in our hearts, that the Spirit of God has conveyed it to us, so that it's out of ourselves. It's not within us. It's out of ourselves. God gives us faith to believe this great and truth, glorious truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save those which are lost. we were lost. Do we know that we're lost? We're lost and ruined in the fall. And is our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Yes, we dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. This is living faith. Yes, my friends, it's faith that we need. It's faith that we must have. And if God gives us this living faith, then we walk by it, not by sight. It's not comfortable to the flesh. My friends, it's the Spirit's work. Don't worry about the old flesh. The flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. When the Spirit of God works in our hearts, the Lord enables us to see His work, will approve it. Because it wouldn't have been the way that we would have chosen. But we do say this: choose thou the way, and still lead on. We're happy then for the Spirit of God to take possession of us, poor, weak, sinful sinner that we are, and no hope in ourselves, but all our hope is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All our hope for time and for eternity. We walk by faith. Well, oh, I pray that all of us tonight may be amongst those who are included in this word, we. We. Are we joining together tonight by the grace of God and found walking through this world by that God-given faith, looking for that glorious city, looking for that time when we shall be with Christ, which is far better. The apostle told us, didn't he? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ was his life. Oh, that Christ might truly be our lives. Yes, that we may live our life unto Christ and not unto ourselves, that he might be exalted in our hearts, and we might be able to come and say with the bride of Christ, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Well, may Christ be a living reality to every one of us, that we may know him whom to know is life eternal. And as we journey on through this life, may we be very conscious that it is a walk by faith and not by sight. And it is for his honour and for his glory. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £775, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday School and will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with him 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb. Broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Hymn 720.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide upon us each, now and for evermore. Amen.